Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
WQAD Podcast Network.
The Cities with Jim Mertens. A production of WQPT, PBS for the Quad Cities region. A podcast in partnership with WQAD. What's going on in the Quad Cities? Activities, events, fun, politics, sports, local issues and opinions. And now, your host, Jim Mertens.
I'm Jim Mertens, and this is the City's Podcast. Did you notice Rock Island County is getting a little bit smaller, and at the same time, it's getting a little bit bigger? What I'm saying is that new maps were released, reducing the size of the county board from 25 to 19. But each of those 19 districts is now bigger with more people. And it comes as big changes are in store for the county. For one thing, it needs to find a new leader after Administrator Jim Snyder announced he's leaving. So let's talk about the impact of all that. We spoke with Rock Island County Board Chairman Richard Brunk. On first blush, what did you think of this newly redrawn Rock Island County for the Rock Island County Board?
Well, I think the map accomplishes pretty much everything that the committee laid out for the consultants. It protects minority voices on the board. It maintains rural representation. I think it's actually they've done a pretty good job.
Speaking of such, I mean, it was important for, I think the way you would say it is, Western Rock Island County has two African-American districts that were protected. Northern Moline has two Hispanic districts that were protected. And then in Southwest Rock Island County, you have two agricultural districts that were protected. That seems to be one of the things that was really important as far as redrawing these lines.
Yes, all of that was. And if you remember, Jim, earlier this year, we had a number of town hall style meetings, although they had to be held remotely, for community members to have an opportunity to ask questions and learn about the process and voice their, you know, their thoughts or their concerns about how the process moved forward. We also had a meeting and involved various community organizations from throughout the area. They provided input, and yes, you know, minority voices, rural representation, all of that was at the top of the list.
And at the same time, reducing a board from 25 members to 19 members. I mean, it was a huge task that was done in order to create these maps.
Yes, correct. And the consultants done a good job, as I mentioned, especially considering the fact that Rock Island County's geography created some unique challenges. You know, we're around 100 miles long, but we're only 12 or 13 miles wide at our widest. And so you can only cut that or slice that so many ways. So I think that they did accomplish a pretty good job there.
When it comes to reapportionment, there's another thing that I think the public doesn't really think about, but surely your members do. And that's what's going to happen to a lot of incumbents. You're going to have people thrown into the same seats. Democrats running against Democrats, longtime Republicans perhaps running against longtime Republicans. What does this map do in that area?
Well, when it comes to that, Jim, it worked out pretty fortunate, as we had a number of members that expressed to me early on this year that they did not intend to seek reelection. And then we've also had some members, as you know, we have a member who is running for the 17th Congressional District. We have a member that is running for the 72nd House District. So that opened up, some additional seats there to help kind of soften the blow as far as the board reduction.
You really have a pretty quick approval process that goes forward. I mean, there's a lot that's going to happen in the coming days.
Yes. Yes, it is. Now, that being said, you know, we did have the special committee meeting Thursday afternoon, and we are having our regular GHA committee meeting this coming Monday. The full board will be able to, you know, review and discuss the map further at the Committee of the Whole meeting this coming Wednesday, prior to hopefully final approval of the map the following Tuesday. So it's just about a week and a half's time We wanted to give, you know, the opportunity for the map to be out there. It's on our homepage. It's posted here publicly in the county office building. You know, so we wanted to have that viewership for that week and a half or so, you know, just so everyone had the opportunity to take a look at it and, you know, hopefully feel comfortable with the job that the consultant's done under the instructions of the Governance Health and Administration Committee.
What about the public? Is there going to be an opportunity for them to speak out?
Jim, all of the meetings of the county board and its committees are open to the public. All of them have public comment opportunities. So, you know, I put out a press release earlier this week encouraging the public to attend the meetings and you know, take a look at the maps and you know, express their thoughts.
As we were saying, you do have some protections for minority districts. Have you heard? Because I know the NAACP had some concerns early on. I mean, have you heard anything? And I know that the maps have only just recently been released. Have you heard anything, though, from these groups?
I have not heard anything from those groups. I actually did reach out to all of the organizations, including the NAACP, the Farm Bureau, and local LULAC organizations and others who actually took part in that meeting that we had earlier this year, where we had a lot of back and forth and engagement as far as different concerns and maybe some unique perspectives that they had as far as how that process was going to move forward. And we did reach out to them earlier this week and let them know about the maps, let them know about the meetings and the opportunity to come and view the maps and voice their thoughts. But I have not heard from any of those organizations. We did have the Farm Bureau's director attend the meeting, and she was going to make sure that the Farm Bureau board, you know, was well aware of the maps, and so it was nice to see them come and take part in the meeting yesterday.
Of course, this is all happening as you're about to start a search for another county administrator. Jim Snyder announcing he's going to go to Washington, Illinois to become a city administrator there. Did that come as a surprise? And I know you're going to be intensifying the search in the coming days, but we're now going to be, what, looking at a third administrator in so many years? I don't want to say a revolving door, but they're not staying very long.
Right, right. No, excuse me, Jim. No, I wasn't surprised because Mr. Snyder had given me a heads up that he had been approached about applying for the position. It was an opportunity, really, that he could not turn down. It takes him a lot closer to his family in Canton, Illinois. It gives him the opportunity to, you know, take part in family events much more often. And, you know, I think that that's important for anybody. And so, you know, I wasn't surprised. I am sad to see him go, but I definitely understand his reasons.
You've had these two county administrators that have been, you know, charting the county through some choppy financial waters. Do you think that this third administrator will have an easier time because of the work that's been done over the last 4 or 5 years?
You know, Jim, we still have challenges that we're facing. We are still, you know, working to shore up county finances, although we're headed in a very good direction right now. But yes, definitely. I think that both Dave Ross and, you know, Jim Snyder over the last 3 years has definitely helped guide the county and the board through some very, very challenging issues that we faced. And I think that, you know, the next administrator will definitely benefit from his work as well as that of Mr. Ross.
The creation of the county administrator position is relatively new. I mean, it's not that new, but relatively new. Do you think that has worked?
I think that there has been a lot of good come from that. Yes. You know, we've worked through a lot of our problems and challenges, and, you know, we've started operating maybe in a little bit of a more professional manner, if you will. So I've seen a lot of good. I mean, we continue to have some hiccups just because, as you said, the position is relatively new. So, you know, to be perfectly clear, Jim Snyder has been continuing to pave that path, to lay that foundation for exactly what the administrator's position here in Rock Island County will entail for years going forward. But yes, there's been a lot of benefits from it, I believe.
You do point out that we've seen some hiccups in Rock Island County. One of the biggest hiccups, of course, is caused by COVID and some of the budget problems that you had. I believe you were ending last year about a $5.4 million had to be cut. Major concessions were being made. This is a year ago in the midst of COVID. What's the financial position of Rock Island County a year later? How are you ending this year?
I don't have the exact dollar figures in front of me right now, Jim, but I will tell you this. There's been a number of things that have provided an opportunity for us to really shore up county finances. We are actually building a somewhat significant fund balance at this point. And there's a number of things that have factored into that. You know, the sale of Hope Creek Care Center, you know, it was a tough decision. But one of the end results of that, if you will, we were not only able to, you know, reduce $2.7 million off the property tax levy, but we stopped hemorrhaging money. You know, and so that helped us to start shoring up county finances. Changes in sales tax related to internet sales has helped us along that path. You know, revenue from, you know, marijuana dispensaries and so on, as well as the, you know, CARES Act funds and the ARPA funds. All of that has provided us an opportunity, you know, as long as we manage it well, to really shore up county funds and county finances. So I will tell you, you know, we're not at the recommended 25% reserve. You know, for municipal governments, we're on our way.
We're now in the process of, I guess you would say, memorializing, although I guess it's called, what is it, recordation of the old Rock Island County courthouse, taking pictures, making sure some of the artifacts, everything historically is remembered before the building is torn down. What's your best guesstimate, I guess, right now for demolition of the old courthouse?
Well, I'm hoping that we will be able to put, I was initially hoping to be able to put a proposal in front of the board this month to approve a recordation consultant. Unfortunately, the timing of putting out the RFP, I'm hoping that it will be in December that we'll be able to approve a recordation consultant. And then I believe it'll be a matter of how soon they can be on site. You know, as soon as they're able to get on site, hopefully the process, I'm hoping maybe a month or so, but that's somewhat of a guesstimate. You know, once they complete the process, all of that information and documents will be submitted to the state. Once the state has reviewed it and made sure that it meets the, you know, the terms set in the MOA that we recently agreed to. You know, they'll sign off on it, and, you know, the state EPA and others will issue the required permits for demolition.
We're in the process of the deer strike. It's going to have a major impact the longer that it lasts on the communities as well as on the taxpayers, too. Is that at all being factored in for Rock Island County? I know you're always looking at revenues, and you've got these deer workers who are now on strike. The longer that strike's going to last, will it have an impact on Rock Island County?
Well, I think it's going to have it would have an impact on all levels of government, local and likely the state. I guess it's a matter of how much of an impact. You know, as that goes on, you're going to see, you know, likely some reduced spending. You know, not only on the part of those individuals affected by the strike and trying to, get a good settlement of the contract, but also by, you know, Deere and other companies associated with those type of operations. So I think you'll see an impact, but exactly what that impact will be, I really don't know.
Rock Island County Board Chairman Richard Brugg.
Thanks for listening to The Cities with Jim Mertens. And watch The Cities Thursday nights at 7, Sunday afternoon at 4, and Monday night at 6 on WQPT PBS for the Quad Cities region.
WQAD Podcast Network.